This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها الإخوة السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته ونسأل الله تعالى أن يتقبل منا وأصلح نياتنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا وهو مولانا فنعم المولى ونعم النصير عليه نتوكل وإليه المصير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. We begin by praising Allah, Lord of the world, sending peace and blessings on His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after saying salams to you, brothers and sisters, we ask Allah to accept from us, to purify and cleanse our intentions for His pleasure only, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, to have mercy upon us. We depend only on Him, and to Him is our return. We've got a lot to get through to finish with hadith number 13. Just to remind you, we are two sessions on it, and it is al-hadith al-thalitha ashar. Kama qala al-Nawawi wa qal an Abi Hamza Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu an khadimi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an al-Nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal la yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsih hadha ma rawahu al-Bukhari wa fi riwayatil Muslim qal la yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi aw qal li jarihi ma yuhibbu li nafsih. So hadith which is from Anas ibn Malik, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is quoted as saying, none of you truly believes until he or she loves for his brother, and I'll use a brother, but it means brother and sister, of course, what he or she loves for him or herself. And in the hadith in Muslim, it's the reporter, we don't know which one of the reporters from the chain of narration is saying that the Prophet ﷺ said from Anas, either he said what he loves for his brother or sister or the neighbor, okay? Which is important because both of that is possibility, and it shows the interchangeability in the understanding of the narrators as well, between the believer and the neighbor, which I mentioned to you last time, Imam Nawawi's interpretation of that, which is brief, usually is very brief when he does his exposition. He actually said a little bit more than he usually says. And he mentions that this la yu'min, as others mention as well, and let's clarify that, when the Prophet ﷺ said la yu'minu, it doesn't mean that you become a kafir. Yeah. Doesn't mean that you the faith is gone. None of you truly believes. As other ulama, include Nawawi, Ibn Rajab, and the rest of them, have understood it to be, it means the quality of iman. I mean, if you put it in English, it's like if I said to you, if I explain it to you, it'd be like saying you don't really believe. It's not your belief isn't proper. Yeah, it's not proper. It's not proper, bro, as I say. So the belief isn't, you could say, complete. It's not how it's meant to be. You've really not understood what iman is about, in other words, yeah, unless you have this quality. And that, therefore, not allow for other people to say that we can now judge people as kuffar or disbelievers who don't, we don't see this practice from. Who were we to judge in the first place? This is left to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's to apply to ourselves. So as Imam Nawawi said, it is absence of the quality of complete iman, as some of them said, that quality. But I would say, right, it's not really having proper belief. That's the best way of looking at it. And the opposite of that he mentioned, we'll come to later on again. Imam At-Tufi went with the idea of what is loving for your brother or sister, what you love for yourselves. The idea, he said, of producing society, of bringing hearts of people together. Yeah. In other words, there's no hatred and that kind of thing. It's the opposite, loving for others. Yeah, so it's a selfless kind of society where hearts of the society and community come together, which is in line with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Or you who believe, hold all of you together to the rope of Allah and do not be divided. Yeah, that's what Imam Tufi briefly mentions. And then Ibn Rajab goes into more detail, as is the way of Ibn Rajab in his Al-Jami Al-Hikam, Al-Jami Al-Hikam. So he mentions another hadith, which brings out the same idea. It's a long hadith, so I'm not going to mention all of it, which is reported in Sahih Muslim. And it is reported from Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu an, who embraced Islam late in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in part of the hadith in which he's quoting the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as saying, "فَمَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يُزَحْزَحَ عَنِ النَّارِ, whoever loves that they are saved from the fire, وَيَدُخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ, and that he or she be entered into paradise, فَلْتَأْتِهِ مَنِيَّتُهُ وَهُوَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, then they should be of those who, when death comes upon them, that they truly believe in Allah and the last day. Yeah, they truly believe in Allah and the last day. And the next part, وَلْيَأْتِ إِلَى النَّاسِ الَّذِي يُحِبُّ أَنْ يُؤْتَى إِلَيْهِ, and they should basically treat or come to people. They should treat, and notice the word annas here, human beings, yeah, meaning all people. They should treat people as they'd love to be treated themselves. Treat others like you'd like to be treated yourself, I would say in English. That's what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this hadith in Sahih Muslim, which has basically the same meaning. And notice the word annas is being used in that covers humanity, actually people. That you should treat love for people, treat people well, and love for others what you love for yourself. That selflessness. Ibn Rajab, when he mentions about, which I mentioned, about what does it mean by one doesn't believe, he goes into a bit more detail, which is good in a sense, and I'll add to it as well. He's saying this is not to do with absence of belief or parts of the beliefs that we have, belief in Allah, his messengers, his books, and there's something we suddenly reject, you know, one from the six principles we believe in, we take out one. It doesn't mean that, but he means it is absence or not reaching the reality of what iman is. Yeah, and so he's talking about quality again. And in this regard, he gives a hadith saying that the Prophet ﷺ said, which is in Bukhari Muslim, saying, "La yazni al-zani, la yazni al-zani hina yazni wa huwa mu'min." وَلَا يَسْرِقُ السَّارِقُ هِنَا يَسْرِقُ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ وَلَا يَشْرِبُ الْخَمْرَ هِنَا يَشْرِبُهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, Bukhari Muslim. That the adulterer doesn't do adultery while he or she is a believer. The robber doesn't rob, the thief doesn't do theft while they are mu'min. And the person drinking khamar doesn't drink khamar, yeah, while they are in a state of iman, yeah, while they're in a state of iman. By quoting that, what does he mean? Yeah, you can get a misunderstanding from this hadith, as some did misunderstand it, and I'll clarify that in a minute further. But the idea here, what Ibn Rajab is saying, that iman despite the sin, you see, that sin shouldn't happen with the good quality and the best quality of iman. Yeah, the iman is naqis. In other words, it's deficient. The iman is deficient. That's how he's using this evidence. And but also to show from the hadith the seriousness of the sin. Notice in the hadith that's just been mentioned in Bukhari Muslim is a mention of adultery, drinking khamar, and theft, clearly from the major sins, yeah, where the idea of iman being absent is used. So now, when we apply this to this hadith, la yu'minu ahadukum, none of you truly believes until, it shows you the seriousness of what the Prophet ﷺ mentioning afterwards, yeah? Not doing it is like falling into adultery and committing drinking khamar. That's why the words la yu'min is being used. Similarly, in hadith in Bukhari Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ, for example, he says, Wallahi, Sahaba report, Prophet ﷺ said, Wallahi la yu'min, Wallahi la yu'min, Wallahi la yu'min. They were afraid and worried. The Sahaba said, who are you talking about? Who doesn't believe, Ya Rasulullah? He's saying, by Allah, that person doesn't believe. And he said it three times. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, who are you referring to as not believing? Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من لا يأمن جاره بوائقة, from whose harm the neighbor, his or her neighbor is not safe. That person doesn't really believe. Whoa. Yeah. So it's not saying it's similar, but it's showing how serious it is to get to meet out any kind of harm to be a neighbor from hell. Yeah, that's going to an extreme, in fact, to give any kind of harm to one's neighbor. A neighbor doesn't mean the adjacent on the right and left in a terraced house or in a detached out right and left. Neighbor is your neighborhood, okay? Your immediate community can be covered by the idea of neighbor. And one hadith, therefore, which goes in line with that, the Prophet ﷺ said, which is in Sahih Muslim, he went to as far as saying, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مَنْ لَا يَعْمُنُ جَارُهُ بَوَائِقَ. That person whose neighbor is not safe from them, from their harm, will not enter paradise. Yeah? Well, that's a swift and a severe warning. Now, some people took the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, and another version of the same hadith is that when a zani does zina, when an adulterer does adultery, their iman leaves them. Yeah? When a thief does stealing, their iman leaves them. When somebody drinks khamr, their iman leaves them. When a believer does that. So some extremists took the idea from that, and Khawarij were part of the extremists who had this idea at the time of Ali radiallahu anhu, and just before as well. Khawarij became extremists, and they were fought by the Khalifa Ali and the believers, including Sahaba and Tabi'in at that time, because of their extreme views. And in the Khawarij view was, if somebody commits a sin from the believer, they become kafir. They become kafir, full stop. And they use the likes of this hadith, but they misunderstood, because Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah don't have this view. The whole of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah of the Ummah don't have this view. Because there's another hadith which clarifies this hadith, which is in Tirmidhi, which is, as Tirmidhi says, Hasanul Sahih, which means it's authentic, from the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, when a zani, adulterer, commits adultery, his or her iman leaves them and hovers over the head, yeah, hovers over the head like a cloud. Like a cloud or and when they stop that sinning, then iman returns back to them. Yeah, so that's the meaning. That's the meaning, which is clarified in another hadith. So we don't say that one who does sin, yeah, and that therefore why this is being mentioned, the idea of la yu'minu doesn't mean that somebody becomes a kafir. Yeah. la yu'min. It means they're sinning if they don't behave like this. Yeah, or if they behave in a negative way or a bad way, they are sinning. That's the idea of la yu'min, not that they become a kafir. So ulama of Ahle Sunnah wal Jama'ah, when it came to small sins, the Sagair, they all agreed that a person who commits small sins, which are the majority of the sins actually, that they are still called mu'min, yeah, but naqisul iman, mean deficient in iman. That's how this little bit I'm going to mention now is to do with technicalities of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah scholars. It's lawyers using technical terms as they like. It's not clear from Quran. So we know that people are, what I said earlier, the person is still a believer. Yeah. Just because they do sin, they don't become kafir. The idea is that judgment is with Allah and they do tawbah and turn back to Allah to ask for forgiveness. So as far as Sagair is concerned, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah said deficient in iman, but we still call them mu'min. When it came to the big sins, what did they say? They're split into two groups, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah ulama. One said, we don't call somebody who's done a major sin, like zina, drinking khamr, etc. Yeah, those are the things they're concentrating on. But if you look at actually the hadith of the Prophet saying, by Allah, he doesn't believe, by Allah, that person doesn't believe, then giving harm of any kind, whether it's verbal or otherwise, to your neighbor, is a major sin. Yeah, they often miss that, those things out. But anyway, one group said one doing a major sin cannot be called a mu'min. We call them Muslim. So they're playing technical terms of difference between Muslim and mu'min, but actually we can use Muslim and mu'min interchangeably. So anyway, some of them said we call them Muslim, yeah, but they are deficient, yeah, lacking in their iman. The others said, no, we can still call them mu'min, yeah. Yeah, we can still call them mu'min, just say that they are deficient in iman, but they are still mu'min. So those are the kind of groups that divided. Ibn Rajab mentions this difference of opinion amongst them. Now, Ibn Rajab then goes on and mentions, I won't mention everything he says because there's much else to, there's a few other things I have to say. So he says basically, similar to what Imam Nawawi briefly indicated, the opposite behavior of not loving for someone else what you love for yourself, the opposite to that, yeah, is obviously haram. And what affects it primarily is hasad, envy, jealousy with a hatred, envy, in other words, we call it. Envy in Islam clearly is haram. Yeah, envy in Islam clearly is haram. Nawawi mentioned, as I mentioned last time, he quoted Imam Ghazali mentioning three kind of envies. Right? All of them are haram. Yeah, but some worse than the other. He says the first kind of envy is that you want that which somebody has to be removed, the favor and bounty they have to be removed from them. Yeah. And given to you. Yeah. Hasad. That is hasad. That's one kind of hasad. The other kind of hasad mentioned by Imam Ghazali, he said that you want the bounty and favor to be removed from the other party who you have hasad for, envy for, even if you don't get it. Yeah. See that kind of hatred? That's opposite to the hadith that we're discussing, isn't it? The third kind of envy, which is still envy and hasad, he said, is that you don't want the favor they've got to be removed from them, yeah? But if they have similar level to you, you don't want that Allah favors them and gives them more than you. So you've got this competition for mal and earthly gains, that you don't want that they outstrip you. Yeah. So that's a hasad as well. Of course it is. Because in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in regards to that kind of attitude, Allah says, أَهُمْ يُقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكْ نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا. Is it them who, meaning people, who are dividing the favor or the mercy of your Lord? Yeah, are they dividing it? In other words, do they see themselves as God and in charge? Or is it Allah? Allah says, or is it we, Allah, the royal we, who divide the favor and bounty? So Allah gives what He wills to whom He wills. Yeah, it is not for us to have this kind of envious jealousy. This would lead to an opposite behavior, as you can see, to opposite to the hadith, which is saying loving for the other what you love for yourself. Yeah, loving for others what you love for yourself. So therefore, beyond that, then, this hasad idea of being haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Al-Falaq, doesn't He? Asking Allah's protection from wa min sharri hasidin idha hasad, and from the evil of the envier when he or she envies. You're asking Allah for protection from that. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here in the Quran, in Surah number 4, ayah number 32, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and do not wish for covet with envy, meaning here, what Allah has conferred more abundantly on some of you than others. Yeah, on some of you than others. Men shall have a share according to what they have earned, and women shall have a share according to what they have earned. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, well, in لِرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. There's no harm in you doing that. Ask Allah, all of you, for His bounty. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. Surely Allah has full knowledge of everything. Yeah. So here, that attitude of not being happy and enviously wanting what others have got is being negatively treated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. So that's, and also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, which is Hassan, reported by An-Nasa'i, part of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported to have said, "La yajtami'an fi qalbi 'abd al-iman fi qalbi 'abdin al-iman wal hasad." Two things don't come together in a heart of a believing slave, or in the heart of a slave. Slave means here believing slave, actually, from what comes after, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-iman wal-hasad. Iman, yeah, and envy don't come together in a heart. They just don't come together. They're opposites, in other words. Hasad is linked with kufr, in other words. Yeah, iman is linked with being selfless and loving for others what you have yourself. So, in fact, the only time a kind of envy, but it's not that kind of envy that I've just described as hasad, but the Prophet ﷺ used the word hasad. In other words, the only time you can look at somebody and wish that you had what they have without the idea of hatred that is taken away from them. Yeah? It's not the idea of being taken away from. Remember what Imam Ghazali, when he was describing the negative hasad, is that you want it taken away from them, or you don't want them to get more than you. Yeah. The third. But here, when you want something that they have as well, yeah, which is positive, that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La hasad illa fitnatain." No hasad is allowed, that kind of envy, except in two things. Yeah. This, even though the Prophet used the word hasad, it means a desire for wanting what these two things. In these two things, you're allowed to desire that you have what the others have. Yeah. And here, for example, Bukhari and Muslim, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Rajul, Atahu Allahu malan, fahuwa yunfiquhu ana al-layli wa ana al-nahar, wa rajul, Atahu Allahu al-Qur'an, fahuwa yaqra'uhu ana al-layli wa ana al-nahar. A person, Rajul means a person here, it doesn't mean only a man, and women are not relevant here either. A person who Allah has given wealth to, and he or she spends from that wealth, meaning in good causes, in the way of Allah, so they're getting benefit and rewards on top of that throughout the night and throughout the day. Yeah. And a person who Allah has given the Quran to, yeah, and he or she recites it during the night and during the day. Yeah. During the day. And this is what you should be vying for or desiring. And in one mentions version mentions Quran and wealth. Another version of it in Bukhari, la hasad illa fisnatain. There's no of envy of this kind of desire to wanting something positive, which is reported by from Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu an. Saying the Prophet said, "La hasad, there's no except in two things: a person who's given wealth, and he expended, uses it, yeah, basically, in all that which is truthful and good, fil haq, halakatihi fil haq, wa rajulun atahu Allahul hikmah, and a person who Allah gives wisdom to. Instead of the Quran, wisdom is mentioned here, which is linked with the Quran anyway, isn't it?" فَهُوَ يَقْضِي بِهَا وَيُعَلِّمُهَا, and he or she lives by it, judges by it, and teaches it. Yeah. So that kind, to be envious of that person that you want to be like that. In one version of the hadith, as he mentioned in Bukhari, the person who's doing the desiring or wanting to be like that, the hadith says, in that hadith in Bukhari, all of them are authentic, that the Prophet said, a person, Allamahu Allahul Quran, Allah taught him the Quran, فَهُوَ يَتْلُوهُ عَنَا اللَّيْلِ وَعَنَا النَّهَارِ, and he or she recites it during the night and during the day, فَسَمِعَهُ جَارٌ, and a neighbor, that's the one who's doing the, allowed to do that, the hasad here, the desire. So a person, a neighbor hears that from him or her, فَقَالَ, and says, Laytani utitu mithla ma utiya fulanun fa'amiltu mithla ma ya'mal. I wish I had been given that which has been given to this person. Yeah. And I would do with it like he or she is doing with it. Yeah. And similarly, he's mentioned this person knowing about a person spending wealth in the good way, they say the same kind of thing as well. That's the idea of wanting wanting that. So hasad, that this has allowed in these two situations. Not for, in other words, in positive, good way, it is not envy and hatred. And notice it's also a desire in gaining rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not hasad in a man who just have lots of money. He didn't say that, did it, the hadith, full stop. Yeah? Or a person who's reading anything or teaching, although that can apply. But how they are applying that as well, that wisdom. And one hadith brings out the idea of reciting Quran. It's not just reciting Quran and not understanding anything, because you could be doing the opposite in your behavior. So the other hadith brings out the idea that they judge by it, they live by it, and they teach it. Yeah. That wisdom means application of the Quran and Sunnah. Yeah. So if you bring all the hadith together, it brings the whole picture of what it's actually saying. So the positive is not just having the wealth, not just having the knowledge, but how it is being used fi sabilillah, for good works, for benefiting people. Yeah. For benefiting. in all good works, and then he's being rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what you're after, isn't it? Now, hasad here, the desire, is not the wealth and not the knowledge, but the fact that they want to be able to do more good works to get more rewards before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which changes the whole perception and idea from just coveting for greed and for menial purposes just to do with dunya. Yeah. Now, I think finally, while mentioning the expositions of various of the ulama, as I have done, I want to mention what Imam Az-Zarabozo says. For those of you who got access to it, may have already read it, about this hadith. He does the various introduction of who Anas was, etc., and we don't need to go through all that. He mentions the hadith, which I mentioned, the longer hadith, in which had treat people as you'd like to be treated, which is fine. And then he goes into a field and says, what I want to look at is he goes into a field where he disagrees with Imam Nawawi and Imam Al-Haytami, because they bring this idea out more clearly. Because remember what Imam Nawawi said, that this is that you love for other human beings. That's the meaning of the hadith, what you love for yourself, both from the, for this world and for the hereafter. So that's being judged, what you love for yourself, but judged by a believer. You're a believer. So what would you want beneficial for a disbeliever in this world? Well, as far as material things are concerned, you know, in a good job, you want them to have good job. You want them to have good homes and to do well in their businesses, to have healthy children, to be healthy and get better from coronavirus, don't you? Or do we want them not to have that? Do we want basically just the believers to come out of the hospitals well and the rest of the disbelievers all to die with coronavirus? Yeah, do we? No. It means human beings you want that for, but we want guidance for them as well. Yeah. We want guidance of Islam for them so that we want the best for them, what we want for ourselves in the hereafter as well. Yeah. And to be saved from the fire, entered into paradise. Yeah. So that's what Imam Nawawi is trying to say, and did Al-Haytami did similarly. Imam Zarabozo, with the greatest of respect and love for him, disagrees and says, he says, because the word is yuhibba li akhihi, loves for his brother or sister. He says there's no brotherhood or sisterhood between Muslims and disbelievers. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa in the Quran. Quite rightly, Allah says, surely brotherhood, yeah, is only for the believers. However, let me clarify that. You can have a brotherhood or a sisterhood at different levels. Yeah? Just like the word ummah, for example, if you look at the word ummah can be used in different ways. You can have people say this is ummah means Muslims only. No. Ummah can mean the ummah of humanity. Ummah can mean the ummah of the people of the book, including Muslims and including Ahlul Kitab. Ummah can actually mean an individual. It has been used like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, calls Ibrahim alayhi salam an ummah by himself. The word ummah is used. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the word ummah in various ahadith when he was referring to the Jews and the Christian. For example, in one hadith which is authentic, he said, whoever hears about me, yeah, from the Christians and Jews, from this ummah, min hadhil ummah, yeah, which covered them as well, and he's referring to Jews and Christians. Brotherhood, we know in language anyway, there's something called a brotherhood of humanity. All of us are the children of Adam, and Adam was made from clay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Ya ayyuhan nasu, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu. Oh, human beings, this is the brotherhood of humanity. Yes? We have created you from a single male and female and made you into nations and tribes. Lita'arafu. So that you can, doesn't mean just so you can get to know one another. It's deeper than that. What does get to know one another mean? To interact with one another, to be human beings and civil with another, to be good with one another. That's all included in lita'arafu. That's why inna akramakum 'indallahi atqakum. Yeah, that's before Allah. Yeah, the best of you before Allah. That's when you're being judged on the day of judgment, is the ones who are from you who are most God fearing and God conscious and pious. Yeah, not for us to be judging. So the idea that this is only limited, this word of ikhwa, to only believers in this hadith is wrong. Yeah, is the wrong context. What helps us also is notice that in fact the hadith is mentioned by Zaragozo to corroborate the same meaning. Yeah. And that was the hadith of Amr ibn al-As quoting the Prophet when he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Wal yati ila nas alladhi yuhibbu an yu'ta ilayhi. Yeah, that to treat people as you would love to be treated yourself. Didn't say believer, it said anas. So you can take that as the same meaning as the hadith, which is mentioning it as mu'min. Yeah. La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsi. His brother, the idea of brothers in humanity. Yeah, and the fact that one of the versions of the hadith in Muslim mentions whether it was akhihi, whether it was jarihi, yeah, akhihi, even if you want to limit the akhuwa to only believers, now when it comes to the neighbor, where does it say the neighbors have to be only Muslim and only Muslim neighbors you treat well? Otherwise, you treat non-Muslim neighbors and you become neighbors from hell to them. That would be disgusting and terrible idea. And terrible understanding. So hadith itself in Muslim mentions interchangeably either akhihi, his brother or sister, or his neighbor, the Prophet ﷺ said, yeah, which covers both meanings anyway, yeah, and takes away from the idea that it's talking about just believers only being treated well. Similar is the case in various ahadith, when the Prophet ﷺ said al-Muslim, yeah, in various versions of this hadith, it says al-Muslim man salim al-Muslimun min lisanihi wa min yadi. A Muslim is the one from whose tongue and hand other Muslims are safe. But in one version of the same hadith, which clarifies the overall meaning, which is in an-Nasa'i, and it's authentic, the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Muslim, man salima an-nasu min lisanihi wa yadi. A Muslim is the one from whose hands and tongue human beings are safe. That really is the idea of Islam. Islam is about, and that's why it's using in the word Muslim. Muslim doesn't just mean submission and peace inside yourself, as many people explained it in books in English. No. The hadith is explaining the meaning of Muslim and Islam here from the Prophet ﷺ. That people feel safe. Yeah. So that's why Assalamu alaikum is the idea of peace, meaning you are safe with me. You are safe as my colleagues and my neighbors and my school and my colleges. Yeah. Because I'm Muslim. You are safe from harm from me. Yeah. That's the idea. Same idea comes for human beings as wishing good on them. As wishing good on them in a general sense in society. So being safe from it, that's what I was saying. Now, so I was trying to, but I'll come back to another hadith which explains that idea. In fact, I'll mention it now. Prophet ﷺ said in authentic hadith, very famous, which is mentioned from Abdullah ibn Salam. It was a Jew who converted to Islam when the Prophet ﷺ arrived in Medina. And he said the first thing he heard from the Prophet ﷺ when he arrived in Medina, the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, what did he say? He said, Afshu Salam. Yeah. Oh, people. He said, Afshu Salam, as he comes to Medina. And everybody's gathered there, not just believers. Yeah. Spread peace. Spread salam. Saying salam and spread peace means be civil. Yeah, as well. Wa atlaymu ta'am, and give food to people, feed others with food. Atlaymu ta'am. Wasilul arham, keep the blood ties. Generally, he's talking to human beings. Yeah. Wasilul arham. Wasallu bilayli wa nasu nayam. And now specifically for believers as well, and pray, do salah in the night when other people are asleep. Tadkhulu jannata bisalam. You will all enter into paradise with security and safety. Subhanallah. Yeah, that's what believers are really about. Now, it's fine. Well, it's not fine saying that this idea of somebody being akhi, brother or sister, is only for believers. Well, it's not true. It's not true. Because then he goes on, because actually, what about if somebody embraces Islam from a non-Muslim family and he or she has a brother or sister who are non-Muslim? Do they no longer say, that's my brother? Or do they now say, no, I can't call him my brother or sister. They're no longer my brother and sister. Is that what the Prophet ﷺ taught? Is that what he did? We still say his uncle, Abu Talib, who died a mushrik, although he was his supporter. We still say his uncle, yeah, who's heading for hell, and his aunt, yeah, Abu Lahab. We still say that. Still counted his uncle. It didn't change. Yeah. So they're still, in other words, they're still the brotherhood of humanity. They're still the brotherhood and ties of family. They're still there. Yeah. They may and disappear and have no value on the day of judgment. That's fine. But in this world, yeah, in this world, they do. And you still have a responsibility, yeah, in that regard. Well, it gets uglier, what Zarabosa mentioned after that, because he quoted Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, with an utter respect and love for him. May Allah have mercy on his soul. Sheikh bin Baz said, this only applies to a brother or sister, a brother, yeah? The idea of brother only applies to a Muslim, not to Jews and Christians and others, he says. He says, therefore, loyalty and friendship, dining together is haram with these people who are not Muslim. No loyalty, no friendship to them, in other words, and you don't dine with them, yeah, together. Allah has cut off their ties, yeah? The ties with disbelievers. This is what Sheikh bin Baz has said. Yeah? And Zaragoza is quoting in agreement with him. And I found this really ugly. Why? Well, he gives his evidence, Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah. First, he takes the ayah from Surah 58, verse 22. He says, there you are. Have a look at Surah 58. And what does it say? In the last ayah, Surah Al-Mujadala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم أولئك كتب في قلوبهم الإيمان وأيدهم بروح منه ويدخلهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه أولئك حزب الله ألا إن حزب الله هم الحزب ألا إن حزب الله هم المفلحون. What does Allah SWT say? He says, you will not find a people who believe in Allah and the last day. That's talking about us. Yeah. يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَّ اللَّهِ. In this translation, it says befriending those who oppose Allah. It's not saying befriending. يُوَادُّونَ means having love for those people who, it doesn't say disbelievers here, حَادَّ اللَّهِ, who have opposed Allah and His Messenger. Yeah? This is declaring war, as was declared by the mushriks. Mushrik in Mecca and mushriks around against the Medina. They declared war. They wanted to kill them. So in a state of war, Allah SWT is saying, it is not right for you to love these people who are trying to kill you. Well, it makes sense, doesn't it? Of course. you're not going to be having friendship with them and taking them out to dinner when they declared war on you and they hate you. Yeah, and they're saying things against Allah and His Messenger and against Muslims. Yeah, you'd be stupid to do that, wouldn't you? Well, that's what it's saying, yeah. Who have opposed Allah, yeah, they're in opposition to Allah's Messenger, even though they be their fathers or their sons or their brothers or their kindred, yeah. Okay, yeah, of course, if they're still trying, they're insulting you, swearing at the Allah's Messenger, and they want to fight you and kill you, then even if they're brothers and sisters, Then that love and that relationship, of course, disappears, even if they're parents, when they're trying to do that. That's the context it said this in. All right? So you can't take that out of context and now say, with all disbelievers, yeah, we don't give any loyalty, we don't treat them well, blah, blah, blah. We have hatred for them. As he quoted, Zaragoza says, yeah, therefore it is obligatory for a Muslim to hate them. Can you believe that? That's it. That's in Zaragoza. I wonder why we have extremist ideas when if you can read stuff like that. Yeah. So that's what my brother Zaragoza and I give him the other. I mean, he needs to look at that again, what is written there. Yeah, because Sheikh bin Baz, we can give an other two who lived in Saudi Arabia, not in our kind of situation. Yeah. He's saying for Muslim, obligatory to hate them for the sake of Allah. Oh, that makes it really nice, tasting nice, doesn't it? Yeah, I hate you, my neighbor, because you're non-Muslim. Oh, yeah, but I do it for the sake of Allah. Oh, that really makes them feel good, doesn't it? Subhanallah. Yeah, the other verse that he quotes is from Surah Al-Mujadala. Surah 60, verse 4. He quotes from Sheikh bin Baz. And what does this ayah say? Allah SWT says here, قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ إِذْ قَالُوا لِقَوْمِهِمْ إِنَّا بُرَآءُ ومما تعبدون من دون الله كفرنا بكم وبدا بيننا وبينكم العداوة والبغضاء والبغضاء أبدا حتى تؤمنوا بالله وحده إلا قول إبراهيم لأبيه لأستغفرن لك وما أملك لك من الله من شيء. I'll stop the ayah there. Here, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? And they use this as an evidence to say we should hate them. You have a good example in Ibrahim and his companions, meaning the believers who were with him. Yeah. They said to their people, we totally dissociate ourselves from you. Yeah. We are free from of you. Yeah. And from the deities that you worship instead of Allah. We renounce you. Yeah, that's what they said. Kefadna bikum. Yeah, we disbelieve and dissociate from you. Kefadna bikum. We disbelieve in you. This is believers saying to the disbelievers. And there has come to be an enmity and hatred between us and you until you believe in Allah, the one true God. Except the statement of Ibrahim saying to his father, certainly, I will ask forgiveness for you. All right. So you see, if you apparently look at this ayah, you'll think, oh, look, Ibrahim saying, because you're disbelievers, enmity, hatred has come between you. We're denouncing you until you believe. And about his father, he's saying, I'll ask forgiveness for you. You can't take that out of context. What did the people of Ibrahim try to do to him, for goodness sake? Before you come to this statement. And what did his father want to do with him? Yeah? Why he's asking forgiveness? They didn't just reject what Ibrahim alayhi salam was calling them to, of Tawheed. They tried to burn Ibrahim alayhi salam in a fire, for goodness sake. And his father said he was going to harm him, hurt him, kill him. Yeah? Of course, after that, you're going to say this. There's enmity and hatred developed. Yeah, because you're trying to kill us instead when we're calling you to the truth. So context is crucial before you understand the ayah. It's not fair to apply it in this situation. Reality is, if you only go a little bit further in the same surah, 60, which I've just been quoting from, go just a few ayat forward, fast forward, or slow forward if you want, into ayah number 8, which is 4 ayahs on. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? La yanhaakumu Allahu 'anil ladheena lam yuqatilukum fid deen wa lam yukhrijukum min diyarikum an tabarruhum wa tuqsitu ilayhim inna Allaha yuhibbul muqsitin. إنما ينهاكم الله عن الذين قاتلوكم في الدين وأخرجوكم من دياركم وظاهروا على إخراجكم أن تولوهم. سبحان الله. And this in line with a few others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, when he says, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ, Allah doesn't prevent you in regards to those, yeah, in regards to those who have not fought against you on account of your religion, nor have driven you out of your homes, yeah, that you تَبَرُّهُمْ, تَبَرُّ, that you treat them good, بِرْ, which is used for بِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, yeah, good behavior, which will be really good behavior with parents, the same word used here, that you are good with them and that you are just with them, behave justly. Tuqsitu ilayhim. Surely Allah loves those who are just. Yeah. La yanha means Allah doesn't stop you in regarding to this kind of behavior of qist and bir, which is wajib normally with human beings, isn't it? To be good with people, to be honest with them. Loyal, trustworthy, kind, considerate, forgiving, just, honest, All that is obligatory for believers. So Allah is saying, Allah hasn't stopped you and given you an excuse in regard to that with people who are not fighting you, trying to kill you, yeah, and not throwing you out of your homes. In other words, carry on being that like that with these. He has only prevented you, Allah has prevented you only doing that kind of behavior with those who are fighting with you in religion. Harb, war, they're trying to kill you. And those who have thrown you out of your homes, or those who have helped others, supported allies, they've been allies of those who who've thrown you out of your home. Only in that case, don't take them as your allies. This makes it so clear, subhanAllah. Yeah. So now that tells you also why Ibrahim, alayhi salam, from his mouth is being said what was said with his followers. Yeah. Allah SWT is not going to contradict Ibrahim, alayhi salam. He's showing hatred. And Allah says, well, in regards to those, as long as they're not fighting you and not for in religion and throwing you out your homes, be good with them. Allah's not going to contradict the statement of Ibrahim, alayhi salam, saying enmity is between you, hatred is between you. Only because of what they tried to do to him and his followers, subhanAllah. Allah SWT clarifies it further, saying in the first verse of the same surah, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tattakhidhu aduwi wa aduwakum awliya tulquna ilayhim bil mawadda wa qad kafaru bima ja'akum min al haqq yukhrijuna ar rasula wa iyyakum أن تؤمنوا بالله ربكم إن كنتم خرجتم جهادا. Allah SWT says, believers, yeah, do not take as allies, لا تتخذوا, my enemies and your enemies. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Allah is saying, my enemies and your enemies. Don't take those as bosom friends and people you can trust and have alliances with. Yeah. Giving them love in return. Yeah. When they try to kill you, subhanAllah. And they hate Allah and His Messenger. What else did they do? Yeah. وَقَدْ كَفَرُوا. Yeah. It's not only because of this, because they disbelieved on what came to you of truth. And yukhrijuna rasul, they threw out the messenger and all of you because you believed in Allah, your Lord. Well, how much clearer do you want it? It's there. Yeah. And it was the likes of Sheikh bin Baz and others from Saudi Arabia, sadly, who also misused and translated the ayats to do with do not take as allies disbelievers. Yeah, saying you can't have disbelievers as friends, put it, yeah, in their inappropriate place. Yeah, in their inappropriate place. Because if you look at those ayah, as this ayah just mentioned, do not take your enemies and the enemies of Allah as those allies. They're not just friends, but allies and bosom friends of those people you trust and close to you. Yeah, so wherever they're mentioned, actually, if you look, it's to do with war situation, when if in a war situation you find some believers actually having alliances and friendships and love with the enemy who are trying to kill the other believers, what would you call that? You would call that hypocrisy. And that's how it's been used, these verses. It's described them as hypocrites who take warmongers from disbelievers as bosom friends, and not just that, instead of believers. For example,
as we have the situation with the Middle East, with the UAE and Saudi Arabia and other countries recognizing Israel.
No, I don't want to comment on that because this is a political issue. Who said that?
It's me, Javed. Okay.
No, you can't say it. You can't apply this there. That requires, because this is a government position, and there could be many reasons and things behind it. Whether I agree with it or not. Yeah, we're talking about individuals, because to apply the Quranic verses to the political situation is a totally different ballgame. we don't have enough information to be able to, because now we're talking about governments and what's going on compared to whether it's other Muslim governments, what they're like compared to whether it's Saudi Arabia or UAE. So stay away from that. No, you can't just directly apply this on that. That would be very dangerous to do. Allah SWT says, where he mentions, for example, in Surah An-Nisa, verse 139, Allah SWT says, those who take disbelievers as awliya, not asdiqa, awliya, bosom alliances, they have take them as allies instead of believers. That's very important. Instead, not just take them, but instead, in other words, you shoo away the believers, as individuals, you don't have anything to do with believers, but you take those who are enemies of believers, instead. What does that say about you? They're looking for honor amongst the who? The disbelievers and the enemies of the Muslims. And Allah SWT says, فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. For surely honor, all of honor is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, don't misapply even this. What's the verse before this when it's mentioning? Who are they? The verse before tells you. It says, بَشِّرِ الْمُنَافِقِينَ بِأَنَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. Give the tidings to the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, that for them is a painful punishment. Who are they? الَّذِينَ يَتَّخِذُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Those who take disbelievers instead of believers as allies. Because that's what the munafiqeen in Medina were doing. Those who were hypocrites, real hypocrites, they had friendships and allies with the enemies in Mecca against the Prophet ﷺ and the believers. Very, very serious situation of not just hypocrisy, but of tyranny. Not tyranny, what do you call it? Treason, sorry. Treason. This is treason. In that context, of course, it's talking about. But perhaps you can use it in the present context, that if I'm going around spending, somebody's asked me this question many times, what is dangerous and not direct application of these verses, because I'm not calling such people hypocrites, but if I'm a Muslim and I find myself that my best friends are only non-Muslims and I prefer the non-Muslims over the Muslims, I have very little to do with Muslims, and I spend my time with those non-Muslims criticizing Muslims and they criticize Islam as well, and I'm comfortable and happy in that, then I really need to check my faith. Because it may be all right for a period of time, but it may not be after some time. So that's a totally different ball game than a situation of where you have a general friendship, and you are honorable, you're trustworthy. Look at the hadith to do with neighborhood. It doesn't differentiate between Muslim and non-Muslim, but it tells you, how's da'wah going to happen if we follow Sheikh bin Baz's idea that we have obligatory must hate them, and we have no loyalty, no friendship, no dining together with them. And Zaragoza goes on then to say, he says, however, which is now a bit of a contradiction, you see, he then says, it is obligatory for those disbelievers who are not fighting Muslims, for us to fulfill our trust with them, not to deceive them, not to betray them, all the negatives. We don't do anything positive. We just don't deceive them. We don't betray them. We don't lie to them. We have got nothing else to do. It's fine, incidentally, to eat with them without the idea of companionship. What kind of nonsense is that? Incidentally. So I accidentally walked into them and said, oh, all right, I can have a dinner today, but I'm not really with you. Without the idea of companionship. Incidentally, accidentally, I fell into a situation. I mean, unbelievable. That's all I can say. Imagine trying putting that into practice. So every time some Muslim catches you having a meal with a non-Muslim, you say, well, that was just incidental. I wasn't really in their company. Sheikh Zarab also said, incidentally, I can have a meal with them. Give me a break, please. So what I would say, brothers and sisters, that, look, you can have a situation if we're saying that these ties of kinship are cut off between Muslims and disbelievers in our context. I mean, look at the Quran, which talked about, firstly, about those who are fighting you to kill you and those who threw out the messenger and threw you out. Well, we've made our homes here. Yeah, many Muslims who've been thrown out from Muslim countries have actually been given their homes here. So how can you apply those verses and then apply it to our situation? Yeah, where we call our homes. How can you apply when somebody in a family becomes Muslim and their parents are still non-Muslim and their brothers and sisters are still non-Muslim? What do we say? From now on, I hate you. I have nothing to do with you. Blah, 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 as is what is being implied by Sheikh bin Baz and Zarabozo. No. Birrul walidain in the Quran comes, walidain, they're still your parents, to be good with them. Just don't follow the falsity of religion, but treat them beautifully well. In fact, more so to those families is an idea of da'wah, of showing them. And that is loving for them what you love for yourself, is it not? Yeah. Love, selflessness. That's what Islam is teaching us. And being a mu'min is about that selflessness. And that's what this hadith is really about, is it not? We don't need all this nonsense about it's only for Muslims and for non-Muslims, we give them this and give them that. It's just rubbish. Yeah. Reality is the Prophet ﷺ saying, with whether neighbors or people, yeah, that you don't really believe until you love, that you are a selfless person. You love for others what you love for yourself. Treat others like you to be treated yourself. Yeah, actually, that would fulfill the hadith. Yeah, as some ulama said, that equality. But if you want to be muhsin and have ihsan, which Allah SWT teaches in the Quran and taught by the Prophet SAW, we go one step further. Ihsan is to want to prefer the other over yourself. Isn't that what Islam teaches us? Yeah. That's what Islam teaches us, actually. And that's the beauty of this beautiful and wonderful deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, protect us, make us of those who strive to be believers, who love for others what we love for ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our failings and our shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us guided on Sirat al-Mustaqeem. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Any questions? I'm sorry there was so much said and it was in a rush because I'm always like that, aren't I? I'm always in a rush trying to get so much said in little time. But I hope you did pick some percentage. Some of you a large percentage, some of you a smaller percentage, but I hope what you picked up was beneficial and useful. Never was my desire to denigrate or disrespect, but to be critical and to disagree with other ulama is the way, with Adam is the way of our deen when there's ijtihad involved. Any questions, brothers and sisters?
If nobody else wants to ask a question, may I just ask something?
Yes, nobody else has said anything, so you're welcome, Zareen. So, I hope you're well.
Alhamdulillah, thanks to your du'as, yes, and Allah's mercy, of course. And pray for your family too, Akhi. Just wanted to ask you, Akhi, in regards to, obviously, it's quite, I feel, quite a seismic shift in terms of sort of the ways that traditionally many people have been taught in terms of their attitudes towards non-Muslims. And it's wonderful to hear this reinforcement of that, mashallah, from your perspective, your learner's perspective, and also with regards to the Quranic ayah in this light as well. In terms of that, when we see obviously non-Muslims doing acts that are obviously through ignorance, then can we pray for them in terms of obviously asking for their guidance along with our own guidance to obviously encourage the good and forbid the evil? Is that what that means by doing that, and by loving them, by encouraging that good and bringing them to Islam, hopefully through our own example, as opposed to just judging them? Because obviously we're not meant to judge either. Is that what is also part and parcel of what we should be doing as Muslims to bring them closer to us?
Absolutely. And that's part of the meaning of this hadith. And I sort of indicated even last week about when it came to non-Muslim loving, and today as well, loving for others what you love for yourself or non-Muslim. Of course, one of the greatest gifts that we have, that we believe as believers, and it's only from our perspective, isn't it, is the guidance of Islam. Yeah. So, of course, if we are not praying for them to be guided, I mean, are we really loving for them what we love for ourselves? I don't think we're being true to that hadith, are we, if we're not doing that? Mm. Yeah?
Yes. No, absolutely.
If we're praying already for them to go to hell and destruction, that's us being judgmental. That's not an attitude of a believer. Yeah? It's different if you're in war and it's clearly between Haqq and Batil, as in Badr and Uhud. Yeah, and then making dua, yeah, Ya Allah, you know, destroy the enemy before. That's a totally different scenario and situation. Yeah. But for us, yeah, this is a part and parcel of the understanding of not being. We hate the haram behavior, but don't, as many du'at and my teachers taught me, yeah, years ago always, and we've been in the field of da'wah. Hate what they do, which is haram, but don't hate the person. Because you're never going to have the right attitude towards them if you start hating people. Yeah? Yes. And this is very important. And that's the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, isn't it? That's what he did. We forget Sahaba were all mushrikeen before they came to Islam. And their families were mushrikeen. Yeah?
And so
you're absolutely right. We should be making dua for the guidance of people. And imagine how that becomes more important when you embrace Islam and your family are still non-Muslim.
Mm.
Yeah? Yes. Isn't that a duty of being related? A duty? Don't you have a duty of birr to your parents? What is part of that birr? Treat them well and ask Allah for their guidance. Isn't that part of your duty? Obligatory.
Definitely.
Your brothers and sisters, yeah? What kind of a brother and sister are you that when you become a Muslim, you're actually worse than you were before? If hatred is going to come and all this judgmental attitude, no. Many people have misunderstood this. You know what? Even if this hadith, let me finally say on this, even if this hadith is, we say, it's limited to Muslims, it doesn't change everything I said about non-Muslim, because we find all that in the Quran and many other hadith I've mentioned already. Isn't that true? Mm. Everything I've said about treating human beings and non-Muslims well and kindly and good isn't dependent on this hadith, by the way, is it?
No, that
makes sense. I've given you from the Quran, I've given you many other hadith. So, JazakAllah khair for the question.
Lovely answer.
Any other questions, brothers and sisters?
Assalamu alaikum, Jux Mumtaz, yeah?
Mumtaz, welcome. Wa alaikum assalam, rahmatullah.
Jux, I don't know whether you know this. I just want to ask, what would their agenda be to push such a narrative that hate the kuffar, hate everything, despise them? Would you have any idea why they would push that narrative onto their certain schools of thought? Sorry.
It's a very good question, and it's a very long answer, and I don't have all the answers to it. But that's why we give the other an excuse for the shuyukh from that, the time they come from and the place they come from and where they've been taught. Yeah, maybe colonialism plays a part. Maybe black and white interpretation plays a part. Maybe living in Saudi Arabia, where they're not living in a non-Muslim society, plays a part, like a Puritan kind of thing. they're all factors involved in this, yeah? And also understanding of their teachers before them and some understandings that have been handed down over the centuries of this kind of attitude, yeah? Has led to that. And Khawaris were there at Sahaba's time, yeah? That's the kind of attitude the Khawaris even had, even worse than that, actually. Khawarij even saw believers. Khawarij were more dangerous to believers than they were to disbelievers, actually. That's how bad they became in their extremism. But yeah, those are some of the excuses I can give to come to that kind of conclusion and interpretation. And then you wonder why you had the likes of the two groups coming out in the last 30, 40 years. Initially, it was those who from Saudi, many from Saudi and other places, following this kind of, who joined the Afghan against the Russians, Qaeda. And then after that, the other extreme, more extreme, because Qaeda wasn't extreme enough for them, was these people who are dispersed and caused all this kind of beheading and nastiness mixed with political issues, but that kind of behavior, which is so far from Islam.
Okay, Jazakallah khair. Because the thing is, that's the narrative that's constantly being pushed, but whereas your perspective and the way that you've given is really pushed, or is probably the background I'm from, that really integrates other society as you say, the Muslims and the non-Muslims, whereas everything counts, well, from a very young age, it's always us versus them mentality.
I know. And isn't it terrible and just that we come and live in their homes? I've heard all sorts of in my life here, you know. Some of it I wouldn't be able to repeat. I mean, I could spend hours telling you the kind of attitude of unjust attitude of people while they're drawing money from the dole and making comments, and still they would try and destroy this. Just totally un-Islamic, yeah? And how people would justify and do justify, yeah? What kind of da'wah and what kind of example and what kind of example of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who was sent to the mercy of the whole of creation, and we are the bearers of the message, yeah? What kind of da'wah are we going to do? Well, none according to that kind of attitude where you have nothing to do with them. Us and them will not produce da'wah, will it? It'll produce hatred. Subhanallah, if you say that we hate them, that Islam, for the majority opinion, which allows, the Quran allows a Muslim man to marry a Christian and a Jewish woman and make him his wife. Is that right? Some dislike it in this society, but nobody can say it's haram because you have to go against the Quran. Quran made it very clear. All right. So now if she's a Christian or a Jew, she's allowed to stay a Christian or a Jew. That means, by the way, she's not to convert. How is he supposed to treat his wife?
It depends on depends on how very first conversation I had with you or the Islamic bodies, with utmost of respect. I was actually thinking about that the other day. I was actually thinking about our very, very first conversation we had at Limb Islam 2003.
SubhanAllah. You've got a better memory than I have. Anyway.
No, I'm not going to remind you of it.
Okay. Go on. Any other questions, brothers and sisters? I've taken a lot of your time. And probably some of you already left because you've had enough.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you very much for all the reminders. I sometimes think that my non-Muslim neighbors are much more of a great example of great human beings. And I treat them just like any other human being. But a lot of people don't even, acknowledge their neighbors, which is wrong in my opinion. But I think in every situation, if we stop and think and ask, what did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do in this situation? And then act in the way he did. I mean, when you look at what he went through at Taif, and we had, I think it's Jibril Islam said, I can destroy these people for you if you want. And he didn't. He didn't destroy those people. He said, maybe their next generations will become Muslim. he was so merciful towards them. That's the attitude we should take towards everybody, and not only just everybody, we should look at everybody as a soul that's been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah loved them and he created these souls, he's given them a free will to then choose the right guidance. So I don't know how anybody can hate anybody unless they're being attacked. Like you said, if you're being attacked, you've been driven out, you have the right to fight them. But if they're just normal people on the street and doing their own business, how can, I don't understand how that hatred and stuff comes in. And like you said, we're taking advantage of their lands. We are in their safety. Some of the Muslim countries don't even treat their Muslim people that well.
Majority, actually, not some.
Yeah.
By far the majority.
We have to stop and think and reflect.
I've been given this message for 30 odd years, I think. So the brother said that's the majority message, us and them still out there. That is very sad. But anyway, Allah give us tawfiq to carry on giving that message, because that is the message and the beauty of this deen for sure. And I'm very clear about it.
And maybe you should have a class on Seerah and about the character of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
I taught Seerah for 2 years already.
SubhanAllah.
It's available already on YouTube.
People should follow what they listen. Don't go away from this class and not change. Sorry, I don't be lecturing
here. No, it's all right.
At times. Jazakallah.
You're welcome. Any other questions, brothers and sisters?
I was just going to mention the Seerah videos are available on Chapter 25 YouTube channel for those interested.
Yeah. I did cover this topic to some extent. Those who attended the Seerah classes a few years back as well, of Muslim and non-Muslim relations. Anyway, Hayyakumullah, is Zafar there?
Yeah, Islamic Sheikh.
Next week is a break, brothers and sisters. So we got time off to contemplate, to think. And so we're back in 2 weeks, inshallah. We've had 3 weeks on the trot.
Inshallah. I'll send a link to the Seerah if anyone on the groups, if anyone would like to just revisit that, inshallah. So I'll put it on the group.
Jazakumullah khairan.
Jazakallah shaykh.
Barakallah fiqh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullah. Wa alaikum assalam.